everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. And we are back with our fifth, I think, entry in these classic Hallmark Christmas episodes that we've been doing. It's been really fun. And I am film critic Rachel Wagner, and Thaddeus is here.
Hey, back again.
Yes. How's it going?
Oh, pretty well, pretty well. These are some movies, the ones that I hadn't seen in quite a while. So it was interesting to revisit them.
We picked three for each one of these episodes that we do. And this one, I had only seen one of them before, and it had been a long time. So it was kind of fun. These are ones that I've like heard about a lot, but I had just never actually seen.
Yes, I'd seen two and hadn't seen one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and it's very interesting. We're going to have a lot. I don't think that any of these are all that strong, but I think they all have interesting things to talk about, and they definitely feel of the moment that they were made.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, let's dive in. Let's talk about Eve's Christmas. This was from 2004, so this is when they were just starting.
Yes.
Making Christmas movies. The synopsis is a wealthy and successful career woman gets a second chance in life when a magical wish transports her back in time 8 years to when she walked away from her fiance to lead a business life in New York. Mm-hmm. And this one has so many tropes of like classic Hallmark movies. If you want to like get an idea of what started these movies, this is a good one to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a sucker for this whole idea of like getting a second chance I'm a sucker for this whole idea of like getting a second chance to make your choices again. I think there's something really appealing about that as a plot. Mm-hmm. So I was really digging it at first, and then it kind of started to lose me a little bit. But what did you think of it?
You know, I enjoyed it overall. I remember watching this when it first came out, and, you know, I think I've watched it more than once. So like over the years, I think I've seen it like again, once or twice over the years, but you know, it's fine. It's not one of my favorites. I will say like the style and like, you know, like the overall production quality kind of reminded me of like the ABC Family Christmas movies that they used to do in the early 2000s. It was very similar, even like the kind of the content and, you know, like the themes, very similar to that. A little starting to become Hallmarky, but like I said, to me, it looked more like an ABC Family original Christmas movie than Hallmark.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, and especially having her dating a married man at the beginning, like shocking.
Yeah. Yeah, she was, well, I mean, he had told her that they were separated, and then she was about like ready to end it when she found out that they were like not really separated, but still very scandalous.
Yeah, very much. This was actually written by our friend Peter Sullivan, which is kind of fun. I don't know if this was his first, but it's probably up there. Probably one of his first. Yeah,
and it must be like, you know, up in early on in his career as like I guess filmmaker, because he writes, produces, and directs sometimes, right?
And it stars Alyssa Donovan and Sebastian Spence. Cheryl Ladd are in there, and I, you know, I'm a big Clueless fan, so I was like seeing Alyssa in things, and so that's fun. And I think that they had actually pretty okay chemistry, her and Sebastian Spence.
Yeah, and I thought it was, you know, suitably like charming and, you know, kind of whatever. But yeah, and then you have Kevin Smith as her boss.
And I think it's good that he went away from the blonde hair.
I'm pretty sure that was a wig. I don't think that was his hair.
It looked terrible.
especially when they went back in time.
Yes.
That had to have been a wig, because that was terrible. Yeah.
It looked really bad. So she is frustrated because she's not happy, and she gets pretty sloshed. And then she meets this guy that this like panhandler. What did they call him? Brother James is his name. And then she wishes on the star, Christmas star. Mm-hmm. And I mean, she is a mess for a Hallmark. Yes. I mean, yes. Wow.
I mean, every once in a while you'll see someone get, you know, get drunk in a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, not like that.
Yeah, every once in a while, like I thought of A Married Who or something like that. But in this one, she's just such a mess all around. She's dating this mm-hmm. married man. She's getting drunk. She's unhappy. She's, mm-hmm. you know, this bad woman of business, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then she wakes up in her old room and mm-hmm. everything's back in 1996, which is kind of yes. funny.
Yes. And I think they did do a pretty good job of making it look like the 90s.
I think so too. Yeah. You know,
and then she's still with her ex-fiance. You know, she's with her, you know, her parents and her brother. And we're not sure why she's become estranged from her parents. And so we get to, you know, we get to understand that we have her one friend who actually, I think, came with her to New York, or works at the same place with her in New York, that, and they're from the same hometown.
Yeah. And she, the friend had a crush on a guy, but never mm-hmm. did anything about it. And
yes, then never even spoke to him, mm-hmm. you know?
And so she's like, well, that's why you end up 40 and alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's absolutely no fake snow in this movie. None.
Maybe there it was snowing in the beginning when she was in New York, but then when she goes back in time, yeah, there's nothing.
Yeah. But like no like snow on the that's true there. And then at the end there's at the wedding there's a little bit of digital snow, but as far as like there's no blankets of snow and things that on the
nope.
Yeah. Which is always interesting that that's something that definitely changed around, I think, 2015.
Yes.
Is that every movie had to have snow.
They had to be covered in snow pretty much every scene.
Yeah.
Every exterior shot had to have snow on it. So mm-hmm.
The thing that started to lose me on this movie is that I didn't buy that she would basically make all of the same decisions again that she had made the first time. And then finally she straightens up at the very, very end. But there was so long of the movie where I was like, really? Would you be taking the calls and accepting the job offer? And when you knew how things had ended, that didn't seem to make much sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of got it in that, you know, I think with her, she was more kind of the same person when she went back in time, and she didn't, and she was kind, I don't know which, I didn't really get it, to be honest. I felt like she was kind of like fighting herself, and like she was trying to like, I don't know if she was trying to maintain her independence. I really didn't make much sense to me either.
Yeah, you know? It just seemed weird to me that if you knew that it hadn't turned out well, like, mm-hmm. then why wouldn't you at least want to try something different?
Yeah.
That seemed strange to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. It was a little odd. And especially, you know, so yeah, we see how unhappy she is at the beginning of the movie. And so for her to just like you said, like entertain this job. She knows that she's going to be very unhappy in this job. But I guess we're supposed to think that she also doesn't believe that she'll really be happy staying in her hometown. And then, you know, she decides to steal eBay/Amazon.
She creates eBay and Amazon.
to make her boyfriend's little bookstore a success. And then, of course, you know, somehow obviously they become really successful with that because, you know, she, I just loved it. I was like, oh, yes, we can.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Online. And then we can, have people, we can have auctions online for this. But I was like, okay, movie. We see what you're doing here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she and her and Sebastian Spence, you know, I guess they end up in New York anyway. So I guess he does decide eventually to leave the small town. But, you know, because I don't know. Yeah, that whole like conflict or whatever didn't really make sense. They didn't dive into it enough to say. So you're right. Like, they didn't explain like why, they didn't explain enough like why she wanted to leave, when, you know, and give enough motivation when we saw how unhappy she was in, you know, with the job and everything and the relationship and everything in New York. They didn't fully explain like why she became estranged from her parents.
Yeah, I felt that too.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, it was like, I guess she thought that they were upset with her for leaving, and so she decided not to speak to them because she assumed that she was angry, but they didn't like really explain that, and so I didn't really get that at all. Like, she just left and didn't talk to her parents, didn't go back home ever. You know, it was very strange.
Ho, ho, ho. We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's the Hallmarkies Patreon.
Do you love Hallmarkies podcast, especially at Christmas?
Do you enjoy the holiday previews, recaps, interviews, and bonus episodes?
If the answer is yes, please consider supporting the Hallmarkies Patreon. We need your help to do what we do both during the Christmas season and all year round.
But not only do you help a podcast led by strong, independent women by becoming a Patreon, you get to become a part of the Hallmarkies family.
Starting at only $2 a month as a patron, you will have access to our Facebook Patreon group where we talk about the movies, shows, and more all year.
We also have many monthly patron watch-alongs with guests like Lacey Chabert, Natalie Hall, Paul Campbell, Mary Lou Henner, and more, giving their behind-the-scenes details of their films.
As a patron, you also have the chance to provide input into the podcast and even join us at different tiers.
So this Christmas season, spread some cheer to the Hallmarkies Patreon and become a member today. You won't regret it.
Go to patreon.com/Hallmarkies to learn more.
That's patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
I didn't understand why her wedding planner was the pig in the way that she was. I didn't quite get it. I mean, it's obviously supposed to be the comic relief, but it was like she, the wedding planner, like, didn't care about her opinion at all. Mm-hmm. It was weird. I thought that was like, it really wasn't that funny. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of like, what are they trying to do with this insane wedding that's been planned?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
It's not like her parents were like snobs and, oh, we need this super fancy wedding. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see why she would want that or care about that. And so I thought that was just an odd part of the movie.
Yeah.
With the wedding.
Yeah. But I mean, I felt like it was fun enough. I did like her like helping her best friend to finally talk to the guy. Yeah. When she wakes back up in 2004, you know, they're married, so mm-hmm. you know, so she did help with that.
I also thought it was funny when she makes the tofu. That was funny. Yeah.
Yes.
They're
yes.
like, what is this squishy?
Yeah, what is this? And they were like, oh, you know, you don't like it. She's like, it's just different.
Yeah, but my favorite, I guess, part of the movie was just the concept of, like, if you had a do-over, I think that's interesting. But then also, mm-hmm. I did think that anytime they were together was pretty good.
Yes, I think they had pretty good chemistry. Mm-hmm. I liked them together. I liked, like, seeing her conflict of, like, her at first saying, you know, oh, like, you saw how, like, happy she was to see him, and, you know, and but she was kind of fighting, you know, falling back in love with mm-hmm. him or like accepting. I think she kind of never really had fallen out of love with him, but mm-hmm. And so that conflict in her was kind of interesting, but that kind of made a little bit of sense. Mm-hmm. It's like, I guess for her, maybe she wanted to like hold on to like this life that she had built for herself, because if she changed things, I guess she would be admitting that she made the wrong decision or something. And maybe she didn't want to have to say that. but they didn't really say that in the script. That's like the only thing that I can come up with to make her behavior make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they were trying to say that she had to decide between city and country, but actually she didn't. Yeah. That she could have had it all. She could have gotten married and been happy and been successful and had the, you know, the city life and everything. And I think that's kind of what they were trying to say. But like the you do have the problem in these kinds of stories that now if assuming this new timeline is her life for the rest of her life, she wouldn't have, there would be like 5-6 years that she would have no memories of, that she wouldn't have their marriage. She would be very confused.
Yeah, she's gonna be asking a lot of questions
for a while. Yeah.
But hi everybody, I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And I think part of it, we have to know that it was meant to be for her to go to, that she had to live this life in 2004. Otherwise, she wouldn't have learned about Amazon or eBay to make a life success, so that she could have it all. So she had to go back to 2004 and steal that idea to come back to 1996 and share that so that they could be, you know, mega successful.
In this alternate timeline, I wonder what Jeff Bezos is doing.
Stole his life.
Whoever invented eBay, I don't know. but yeah, you're not supposed to kind of think about that. You're just supposed to enjoy it, which I get. But she wishes on the star, and then she wakes up in New York City. And like, I did not believe that she would write this letter again, the exact same letter that she had written before. Like, that just doesn't make sense. If things hadn't gone well, like, you might still decide to leave him, but you wouldn't write the same letter that you'd written before.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. But he finds the letter, and then she says, I took the road to success, but I was miserable because I didn't have anyone to share it with. Mm-hmm. And then he says, I know what's down that road, and that's not where I want to be. I want to be with you.
But the thing is, she wrote the letter, but then she decided not to give it to him. She decides to go through with the wedding, but he still finds.
Yeah, he finds the letter.
And, you know, basically she is about to get left at the altar before she, you know, goes to like explain, you know, what happened. So thankfully she gets to him in time, and they still get married and still, you know, and then she wakes up 6 years later and they're still married somehow. So, in New York.
And she tells the Calvin Smith off, Neil, I think his name was Neil. She tells him off. Yeah. And that's kind of a fun scene.
Yes. Yeah. I liked that scene.
She's not interested in being a notch on his bedpost.
Ooh, Hallmark saying that.
I think the script could have had like another pass. It wasn't quite there, but I think it was a fun concept, good cast, overall enjoyable.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the acting was pretty good. And I agree, like there were just a couple things that needed to like be explained a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And then I would have enjoyed it a little bit more. And understood why she was making some of the choices that she was making when she had like this chance to redo and change mm-hmm. the decisions that she makes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I probably would have had her I probably would have done more of the family man kind of thing, like had her instead of waking up married, still married. I would have just had her wake up and be like, oh, I got to find Scott and then go and find him and then get married. And rather than this like new timeline,
I don't really mind the timeline too much.
But it kind of reminds me of one of the Treehouse of Horror on The Simpsons. He goes through different time and then finally Homer sits down and he's like, everything looks pretty normal except for, says for everybody in the family has lizard tongues. Mm. He's like, close enough.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't mind it too much. I am glad that they didn't give them children because that would have been really weird.
Oh yeah, that's true. That would have been weird. I don't know. I just think that could have been a little bit of a better ending, but it's not bad what they have. And I was frustrated when watching it because I'm like, what is she doing? Why would she even consider this as an option? Mm-hmm. And then they kind of brought it around. But yeah. I did think it was funny that they have her have a cell phone at all in 1996. Mm-hmm. Like they have this big one, but mm-hmm. I don't really know anybody, especially like a small town. I didn't know anybody who had a cell phone in 1996.
Yeah. I knew people who had the little phones in the car, but not like an actual cell phone.
Right.
But the cell phones they did have, they were even bigger than that at that time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. By 99, more people had them. So that's when The Way Home is set. I got my first one in 2000, but I think I got a Cricket phone in 2000. And so they were much more like widely. And by the time 9/11 happened, like everyone had one. Mm-hmm. But 1996, not that many, mm-hmm. I would say. But yeah, I think overall it's a fun watch. It was fun to see like the fashion and the other things from 1996 that they tried to put in. So I would give this one like a 3.5, I think.
Yeah, I'll do like 3.25.
Yeah.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. A brighter future awaits if she can escape the shadows of the past. In After the Shadows by Amanda Cabot, the first book in the Secrets of Sweetwater Crossing series, a young widow returns to her hometown in Texas Hill Country, never dreaming that the new school teacher holds the key both to the mystery surrounding her father's death and to her heart. Library Journal says her sensitivity and realistic portrayal of characters often on the margins of history really shine in this new historical series. Check out After the Shadows today at bakerbookhouse.com and get 30% off and free U.S. shipping. That's 30% off and free U.S. shipping at bakerbookhouse.com, or you can use our affiliate link in the description.
All right, so we have an old-fashioned Thanksgiving, and this is one I had heard about because it was so different, but I had never seen. Mm-hmm. And for Hallmark to do a period piece like this that really feels like a feature as far as production values.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I was kind of excited to finally actually watch it, but... Mm-hmm. In the late 1880s, a widowed mother of three struggles to keep her family intact and to put food on the table. The oldest daughter sends a letter to her strange, very wealthy grandmother, urging her assistance, much to her mother's disapproval. When the grandmother arrives, old wounds are opened, but eventually healed, from a story by Louisa May Alcott. And so I had never seen this before. And I mean, I would love if Hallmark did mm-hmm. more films on this kind of level, as far as the production and the, it's pretty impressive. And I guess it did. I mean, this just shows the difference between cable now and then. This mm-hmm. was aired in 2008, and it had a 5.2 million viewers for the for the airing, and making it the highest gross cable movie of the premiere day and week. It also ranked number one in the time period for household and total viewer ratings and deliveries, and boosted the network to rank first in prime time for the day. This made Hallmark Channel rank sixth for the week. I mean, 5.2.
Yeah.
That's pretty really, really high.
Yeah.
The highest last year was 3.9, I think, for Three Wise Men. Mm-hmm. So that's how much things have changed since 2008.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Kind of interesting.
And I think part of it, I mean, we, you know, it's, I think they're still figuring out how to do ratings with streamers.
Yeah.
So it's a little different.
It's true, because you have the people watching on DVR, you have the people watching on like Peacock or the streaming. So that's true as well. But I mean, 5.2, I think the only thing that got like 5.2 last year would be something like Yellowstone. Ratings that high, but anyway, and it stars Jacqueline Bisset, Helene Joy, Tatiana Maslany, sorry, She-Hulk. who would have guessed she'd have a future in the MCU? So this movie, I kept feeling like I would have just rather been watching Little Women. It's just not as good a story as Little Women, as good a characters.
Yeah.
And I kind of just wish that they had just made a version of Little Women instead of this other story.
Yeah, I just, for me, like, going in from the beginning, like, it made it feel, it was difficult for me to fully, like, sympathize with the characters, because they go straight in with the Tilly character writing this letter to the grandmother. And impersonating her mother in the letter, and, you know, making up this wild story about the father being kidnapped by gypsies, and then he went to war or something and was kidnapped by gypsies, when there wasn't really a war at that time.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, like, the family being in dire straits financially, and through most of the movie, up until like kind of the middle, maybe like closer to the end, we don't really see that they're that bad off financially. Like, you know, they seem to be pretty comfortable.
The only thing that we see is that they can't afford a Thanksgiving dinner. You know, right. The whole conversation with the son of, like, we can't have mashed potatoes, we can't have turkey, we can't have, because they're so poor.
And then that's not even like, and that's like later on in the movie. I wish that, you know, I would have felt a little, it would have endeared to her a little bit more if, like, we had seen them struggling a little bit earlier on in the movie. And that prompts her to, like, okay, well, I know that I have a rich grandmother or something. And so I'll write this letter. I don't understand why she didn't just say that she was her granddaughter, or, you know, why she had to make up this wild story. I think, well, we do see later on that Tilly, like, likes to write stories, and that she wants to be a writer. But so it made sense later on, but I prefer to have, you know, the characters a little bit more established before they do, like, really outlandish things.
That whole conversation beginning about they're going to have no Thanksgiving dinner. And they basically act like they are starving, that there's no food. There's no food, and she doesn't know anything about her mother's family. I'm not even sure how she even knows the grandmother, or knows the address for the grandmother.
Well, it seems that her friend, Christopher Turner's character, had, like, when he went on his little expedition for 5 years, whatever he was doing. He somehow found out about the grandmother, and had given her the contact information for the grandmother. So she decides to, you know, to write to the grandmother, like, as their mother. She doesn't. Yeah. Yeah, just, I don't know. Just
I just thought that it was too argumentative. I mean, I know that, let's say in Little Women, there are points where they argue. I mean, obviously the whole scene with Amy burning Joe's book and, you know, them being bitter, but like, it's more of like a little vignette in the life of these people than it is like the whole tone of the movie, right? Mm-hmm. For Little Women or book. Whereas this just felt like, boy, I'm really not enjoying these characters. They're just so mean to each other, and they're just so, I don't know.
Yeah. And so, I agree. And like I said, I felt like if they had started it earlier, we see them struggling. We see her asking her mother about the grandmother, and the mother's kind of cagey and, you know, doesn't really want to, you know, answer. And so we kind of, so it's doing more of showing us, not, you know, telling us, everything. Would have been, I would have been able to sympathize with the characters a little bit better, personally. So,
well, and I didn't think that her mother made much sense, because she went off with this man who her mother thought was a vagrant and of no good. And yet then when Tilly gets engaged to Gideon, she says she refuses to give her blessing, which seemed very hypocritical to me, that, you know, she hates her mother. And yet, isn't she just behaving exactly like her mother, if not worse?
Well, I think this one, she said, she didn't say that she would refuse to give the blessing like indefinitely. She wanted her to like go with the grandmother and explore and whatever, before she committed to marrying him. And then if she came back and still wanted to marry him, then she would give her blessing, which actually to me kind of made a little bit of sense, because, you know, from so much of the movie we see that Tilly wants to be a writer, then all of a sudden she the guy proposes, she says yes, and she's like, oh, I thought you wanted to be a writer. She's like, no, I don't.
Well,
you know,
is there any proof that he wouldn't have gone with her to New York, like why they couldn't have gone as a couple? I know, it just felt hypocritical to me that, like, I just felt like the mom's character, she would be the first one to be on kind of love side instead of breaking up this couple.
She didn't want to break them up. She said that you could, you know, she was putting a delay, because remember, his character had been gone, like off exploring and in college or whatever for like 5 years. And then he came back.
Because he says a minute is too long to be apart. Yeah. And I was just kind of like, oh, why couldn't they have just gotten married and gone up to New York?
Well, to me personally, I actually agree with it. I understand what she was doing. You know, he got to explore, see if this is what he really wanted to do. And she didn't get to do that. Oh, she was stuck in their little town, you know, and kind of, I guess, apparently struggling financially and everything. And now, and so she got an opportunity to go with her grandmother, to see more of the world, to kind of, to travel, to gain more education and everything. And then, you know, to see like what other opportunities and options she had. And
I kind of wish they had an epilogue showing them getting married or something. I don't know. I just was like, oh, I want them to get married. I don't want them to be apart.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I understood where she was coming from. And she wasn't saying like, you know, don't ever get married. You can't, he's not good enough. It was, you know, he's gotten this chance to like go out. He knows for sure this is what he wants, because he's seen what else is out there and you haven't.
Yeah.
I can see what you're saying.
I guess for me, I just kept thinking the whole time, I would just rather be watching Little Women. Like Little Women is very similar to this, but it's better in every way. Like the characters are better, the story's better, and it has like some of the same archetypes and some of the same things, but I don't know. I just kept feeling like they should have just made Little Women instead of this.
Oh, I won't argue with that.
And there was too much fighting, but I didn't like hate it. I just would rather be watching Little Women.
So for me, I just, you know, didn't really like any of the characters.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And I think that's what, when you say, like, they're pretty much fighting the whole time. You know, the grandmother, like, seems completely, like, out of touch with, like, their reality. The mother is just so closed off and, yeah, like, bitter that we don't get to understand, like, her motivations as much until, like, much later on into the film. Tilly, I mean, she, you know, I have a little bit more grace for her because she's, like, a kind of a flighty teenager, and so you can kind of have, you know, a little grace for that, but she was still kind of annoying to me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I go through and, like, the main characters are, I don't really like, yeah, it's hard for me to enjoy the movie. So,
yeah, I mean, I would give probably a 3, maybe just for the production values alone, maybe 3.25. Mm-hmm. But there is a sequel in Old Fashioned Christmas. So I feel like we have to do that.
Oh yeah, we do. we have to watch it. Yeah, I think we do. So we'll see. And you'll see they're probably, you know, Tilly and whatever his name is probably did get married at the end. She comes back, you know, maybe she comes back and she's a little like, you know, I could see her being kind of like,
yeah,
uppity. and then something happens and she decides that she wants to get back with after Christopher Turner's character. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll give it like 2.75. Mm-hmm. The production value was pretty good. I do enjoy like period type pieces. But you know, for me, like, the characters just weren't, yeah, that likable, so it was tough.
I was really hoping it would be this sort of hidden gem that because I've heard about it and I knew it was just this really unusual project that Hallmark doesn't do very often. And so I was hoping I'd love it because I do love period pieces and things, mm-hmm, like that. But yeah, it wasn't. I'd again just rather watch Little Women.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Okay. We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Are you looking for that perfect gift for the postable, hardy, or Hallmarkie in your life?
What about getting that t-shirt or hoodie that will help you stand out at your next holiday party?
Now is the time to check out the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Full of festive designs by artists like Jessica Miller, Carrie from Hallmark Comics, and more.
You can even have more than just shirts, but totes, cell phone cases, notebooks, mugs, and more.
And it isn't just Hallmark. We have designs for Anne of Green Gables, Man from Snowy River, The Nanny, and more.
Every purchase at the merch store goes to help support the podcast and allows us to make the great content you know and love.
There are frequent sales, so go to tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies or see the link in the description.
That's tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies.
So then we have the National Tree. Was our third one, and it's a teenager has his Sitka spruce tree chosen to be planted outside the White House as the new national Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very interesting. There was so much in this movie that was like 2009. Like,
yes, right, very much.
Oh, so much.
I love it. It brought back memories.
Yes, it did. And I was thinking this was Hall of Fame, but I guess it wasn't. I guess it was just a regular movie, 2009. Overall, what did you think of this one?
I really enjoyed this. I had not, this is the only one of the three that I hadn't seen before.
Okay.
And so I was pleasantly surprised. I really liked all three of like the main actors. I thought Evan Williams was, you know, his character was a little, you know, kind of quirky, but And he kind of had like that, he had that thing going, like the old like YouTube content, yes, creator.
He was like a Zoomer before it was, yes, cool.
Yes, and I loved like when he was having his little you know, video chats with his, yeah, friend. You know, he had to have like the four separate like things, you know, open for each of them because you know at that time,
yeah,
they didn't have one where you could all be on at the same time. So I remember like when we would, you know, we had to do you know, stuff like that. So I thought,
I mean, he's ready for quarantine. I mean, no problem. Yeah, it was really funny how they were like, how they were making him seem like so cool. You know, he's out there vlogging and
they even like, you know, they knew the term like vlog and
yeah,
it was hilarious. And then they were so surprised that his grandmother had been like following the vlog. Yeah,
following the vlog. And it was funny to me that whenever they would show it from the point of view of his camera, it was always 35 minute battery. Always.
Yeah, of course. Like,
it was 35 minute battery. And I mean, I don't think that I would want to watch any of his vlogs because it was always so like jumbled and mixed. Like, oh, you'd get sick watching his blogs. I'm like, the man needs emotion, like one of those steady cam things.
Yes. But that was before that time. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Do you think that he would be a big star, big vlogger star in 2009?
Yeah, I'm sure he would have a nice little audience.
Yeah. There. And his dad, played by Andrew McCarthy, is old school. He's not into all this newfangled stuff.
Nope.
He doesn't have a cell phone.
And he's like really sad about, you know, the son, you know, being about, you know, about to leave home, you know, to go to college. I mean, Evan Williams has made it. You know, has made his intentions known. He does not plan on staying in that little town in Oregon. He is Oregon. He is about the world, and his father's like really struggling with that. You know, so he has entered the tree that he was given pretty much at, you know, planted for at birth. And entered the contest for the national tree because apparently, the previous national tree got struck by lightning during a storm. Yes. And
so then they had a contest.
Mm-hmm. And he wins the contest.
Yeah, he wins the contest. And so it's this big promotional thing for this toy company that Faith is representing, played by Carrie Matchett. And immediately they do not, Andrew McCarthy's character does not get along with Faith. Of course, you know that means they are supposed to be together, but she's like engaged, but her fiance is unhappy that she's spending all of this time with the tree and everything like that. And I can understand that, I guess, but like, it's not like this is an everyday activity that she's doing. Mm-hmm. With the tree.
Yeah.
Like this is,
but she's gonna miss Thanksgiving with his family in New York.
Yeah, she's gonna miss Thanksgiving.
I mean, you know.
But again, if it was, I would be more concerned if this was like daily something that's going to be happening, then we like need to work it out in our relationship. But if this is just this one trip, I would be more forgiving, I think.
Yeah.
As far as, but he's not so happy.
He's a little unreasonable. And so, you know, so of course, you know, that relationship isn't long. We don't even get to see him.
We don't even see him. But they offer $5,000 cash prize. And he says, this is my chance to get out of here, to do something cool, to meet the president.
Yes. And his father is like, you know, I don't trust these people to like take care of this tree. I don't, you know, she said that there was going to be an arborist that was going to like escort them. And he was like, and then, you know, and he was really reluctant at first, but then, you know, he went in speaking with his friends, we get to understand a little bit more about like, about his reluctance.
Yeah.
And
but then, I don't think that most teenagers would be that excited about meeting the president.
I think there's a good amount.
He was like, this is so cool. We're meeting the president.
I think. Sure, I can buy that. That's the least. I could definitely find that there are plenty of teenagers that would be excited about that.
I guess I don't spend much time around teenagers, but it just seemed like a little bit like, is that the cool? Is it would that be cool?
It's not like it's for him.
I guess.
Out in the middle of nowhere, you know. So
yeah, but. He was charming, and we part of the reason we wanted to talk about this because Evan Williams, of course, is in The Way Home.
Mm-hmm.
in on Hallmark now, so it's kind of fun to see him as a teenager.
Yes.
Here. So they start on the trip, and he says that the dad says, do you have to film everything?
Yeah.
Like, and it was like, that's a reality show.
Yeah. And they were, you know, they were putting the vlog on the website.
Yeah.
To like promote the whole tree. So that was just part of what, you know, he was going to be doing. Yeah.
Cause there's like groupies. People are coming out to see the tree.
Yes. Yes. And they make a stop every day, and mm-hmm. for like their little promotions, and they have people that come. The biggest one, you know, on the way was the one in Chicago, and Evan Williams is just soaking it up. He is just loving.
Well, by that time, it had kind of built up, like people knew about it, and didn't make me laugh when they go through Utah. Mm-hmm. And it says Mormons, the Jazz, the Olympics, and the Mormons. Yes.
Yeah,
and that was then, funny.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. And then, of course, they make a stop in Idaho, which is where his little crush is.
Right. Yes. Which was bonkers. That whole scene the whole plot line when she is hiding out in the truck, and she finally knocks on the door because she's freezing to death.
Yes. That was crazy. Like, they didn't think, I mean, it's teenagers. They don't think, a lot of times they don't think these types of things through. But yeah, so the father's just like, no, she can't come. Or even if her parents said she can come, she can't. And it's, you know, obviously it's because he wants this to kind of be like a father-son bonding things, but like a last kind of hurrah before he leaves for college, but he can't or won't say that. And so of course, you know, their solution is to have her stow away and ride with the tree. And but
before that, you had the fire scene, which was pretty good, I thought. Pretty well done.
Wait. Oh yes, yes.
Driving through the fire.
Oh yes, when they were driving through that through the forest fire.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. I was like, well, they had budget. That's why I was sure this was Hall of Fame, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I thought it was too. And that was pretty decent special effects and just the way it all played out. Like,
yeah.
Because I would be terrified driving a truck like that.
Yeah.
As a teenager. And then to have your dad on the back trying to hosing it down, like trying to keep it. I mean, it was like an action scene in Hallmark.
Yes. Yes, that was I was really impressed by that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I mean, I guess that, you know, these Hall of Fame movies have a little more budget, but this wasn't a Hall of Fame.
Yeah. That's but surprising.
It was during the time that they were doing less movies. So they had a little bit more money probably allotted to the movies that they did make. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. So we also get to meet his grandmother. played by Jane Eastwood, who's always great.
Yes.
she played Mrs. Hammond in the old Anne of Green Gables.
Okay.
And so she was like a terrible terrible person, really mean to Anne. Mm-hmm. And so I always kind of have to put that out of my mind. Because like she is great. I love her. But she's in this as the grandma, and she's been following along.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's after the visit with the grandma that Katie is freezing. And
yes.
And I guess you're supposed to be fine with this because they have been friends online. Like, it went from virtual to in real life. I think they call it there's something about the relationship being virtual.
Yes.
but Rock, he says, I'm not going to Washington without Katie. So he sticks up for his girl.
Yes.
he says, Rock wants to be there more than anything else, but he's standing by his girl.
Yeah.
And basically his vlog is kind of similar to like TikTok now, don't you think?
Yeah. But yeah. Back then they didn't have it, so it would have just been on YouTube probably.
Yeah.
But
well, and it was just on his seemed like it was on his own website.
Mm.
That the blog was. It was, I forget what it was called. It was like Rocks Builders or something like that. I forget what the name.
Yeah, but, he probably wouldn't be that popular then. Yeah. It was just on his little website. But
I have to learn. This is such an awesome country, especially when you're lucky enough to drive across it.
Yes.
Have you ever done a cross country drive?
No, I haven't. I will, but I do want to eventually one day.
Yeah. I never have. I've never done all the way across the whole country. I've done lots of times, gone from Utah to California many times. I've gone from Utah to Southern California, Utah to Sacramento area. I've done that. That's probably the longest drives that I've done. But
longest drive has been from Maryland to Nashville when I was in medical school.
Okay. Yeah. I think it would be fun with the right group of people.
Yes.
It could be miserable with the wrong
people. You got to find the right group to do that.
Yeah. And then they end up with, I forget which stop it was that people made them a whole Thanksgiving dinner. That was like out east, I think.
I think it was Pennsylvania. It was somewhere Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And then soon after that, Faith gets a phone call from her boss about the stand and the people being, you know, ready to like, you know, tree?
Yeah, they say they're going to erect the tree, not plant it. And so it gets a lot of tension because that's not the plan. But the greedy business people, they are like, well, we can do this every year. It's such a big hit.
Yeah,
but it's so stupid because why would people want to watch you destroy the tree every year? Like people think it's you're planting it. They're not going to be cheering along for like, yay, you're destroying the tree.
Yes. And that I think the novelty would eventually wear off. You can't do this every year.
Yeah.
She gets a phone call from the boss who's, you know, talking about the plans to, you know, erect the tree rather than plant it as they had originally discussed. And, you know, at first she's like, oh, is there some type of mistake? So she waits till the next day to call and confirm. And by that time, they're already in DC and they're preparing to have the tree erected. And she goes and tells them, and she said she just found out there wasn't really much she could do. And of course, Drew McCarthy's character is furious with her, And it's all her, obviously it's all her fault. She obviously knew this the whole time. She lied to him, she misled him,
But he's kind of far away and he doesn't have the cell phone. And so then Katie goes and gets him. And says, we got to go. We got to save the tree. We got to stop them from killing our tree.
Yes. And so, they have like a big group of people that are protesting the destruction of the tree. And Rock like stands in front of the tree that the police are like threatening to arrest him. Mm-hmm. So then, Faith and Andrew McCarthy's character also get on and they have the support of the crowd. And, you know, of course, you know, they have to relent.
Yeah. Yeah. they aren't going to until they get a particular phone call from the big man.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. From the president. The president calls, tells them to plant the tree. And I was a little bit surprised that they didn't have like an Obama clone, you know, kind of a Obama lookalike. Because this would have been for the president. This would have been, 2009. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, yeah, he calls. And then we also had a scene where the Great Equalizer is evidently karaoke. It's a great equalizer. So I have to ask, do you have your go-to karaoke song that you do if you have to go to karaoke?
When I do karaoke, I like to do Nat King Cole. When I do karaoke.
Nice. Well, that they didn't do Christmas songs, which is a little bit surprising. And now that you definitely would have that. But my go-to is Wide Open Spaces.
Oh yeah.
The Dixie Chicks. It's like, it's a super safe range and it's a like good song for that kind of thing. I know I can pull it off.
Right. Yes.
So that's my go-to, but then yeah, Rock and Faith handcuff themselves to the tree so that they can't kill the tree. Yes. And then this tree is America. We need to nurture and protect it just like our country.
Yeah.
It was a little corny. This movie had some corny lines.
Yeah, it did. But yeah. To me, like the way that they set up, you know, particularly Rock's character, he was kind of corny, but
yeah,
but his corniness was charming.
So yeah, I enjoyed it. I just, it was a little like, okay, this is really cheesy.
Yes.
but yes. And then we end with a kiss between Corey and Faith.
Mm-hmm.
We'd had a number of kisses between Katie and Rock.
Yes.
Young love.
Yes. And I think what makes this, like, according to this movie work is that I think the movie knows that Rock is kind of like corny and that he thinks he's cool, but he's really not.
Yeah.
and so that was part of the humor to me. Mm-hmm. Like this kid is just oh Lord. But
and sometimes I enjoy a little bit of cornball, especially Christmas. Yes. So it works.
Yes. I like self-aware corniness.
Yeah.
And this movie seems self-aware about the corniness.
Yeah.
So So
I would give this one a 4. I overall enjoyed it. I thought it was a nice story.
Yeah, me too. I would give it 4 crowns. I enjoyed this one. And like I said, this is the only one of the three that I had not seen before. And I enjoyed it. I was pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. Well, and actually thinking for some reason that it was another movie, there was another Christmas tree movie that I was thinking about, but it's a different movie. I forgot the title of the other movie.
Yeah. So if you're listening, let us know what you think of these three movies. If you've seen them, they're all available to stream. I think I watched Eve's on Tubi, I think. And then Old Fashioned Thanksgiving was on YouTube.
Also on YouTube.
Oh, okay. And then The National Tree is on Hallmark Movies Now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you can watch it on there if you have that. So yeah, let us know what you think. If you've seen either of these three, we'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you have any suggestions for pre-2013 that are kind of a cutoff for this, let us know your suggestions. And and you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. Also make sure you're following the podcast, the Hallmarkies Pod, Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media. And we'll have the playlist to the other episodes that we've done. This is our 15th classic that we've done in this series. This is our 15 movies that we've done so far, which is kind of fun. So I'll have that in the description. And we also, if you are listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews. And if you are listening on and watching on YouTube, please give the video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that so much. We also have the Patreon group and merch store, which Thaddeus is a member of the patrons.
Yes.
Yes. So we appreciate that so much. So check that out. And thanks, everybody. And Merry, Merry Christmas to everybody. Merry Bye, everyone.